This is GPB. I'm Leah Fleming. A few years ago, I was at my book club meeting with a group of Black women. Several of them are raising boys. And I remember one mother who told us that at the start of every school year, she goes in to meet the teacher with her son. And in a powerful moment, she would look at the white teacher, and they were always often white, but she would look at the teacher in the eye and say, "This is my son. He's an A student, and you will not have any problems with him." Now, this was meant to be more of a warning to the teacher not to mess with her kid. And I share that with you because it speaks to a larger issue that so many parents of color know about. It's something called implicit bias. According to the Kerwin Institute at Ohio State University, the term refers to the attitudes or stereotypes that affect our actions and decisions in an unconscious manner. Now, when it comes to school discipline, implicit bias has been a big problem in Georgia and all across the country. A recent study from the Government Accountability Office finds that Black students are overrepresented when it comes to suspensions, corporal punishment, and school arrests. Michael Tefelsky has been studying the issue for years as a lawyer with the Georgia Legal Services Program, and he joins us now in studio. Good morning.
Thank you.
All right. So a few years ago, you represented a Henry County student who was disciplined much differently than her white classmate. Tell us about that.
Sure. So my client, Makia, she was a sixth grade student at the time, and she had no behavioral problems in the past. She was a star academic student. But she was being bullied on social media by another student who was white, and Makia's Black. And on this day, the white student had pressured her to skip class, and the girls skipped class, and they went into the girls' locker room. The white student had a Sharpie and began to do some damage in the locker room that was pretty significant. She hands the marker to my client and says, "Here, now you need to write something." And my client writes, "I," on a bathroom stall. And they get caught doing this, and they both admit to their involvement. And the disparity really occurred in how they were treated after this behavior. And my client, Makia, she was sent to a disciplinary hearing where she faced permanent expulsion from school for this infraction. She was required to retain an attorney. And a few weeks later, a deputy arrived at her house and served her with a delinquency petition where she had to then appear in juvenile court and also retain an attorney. The white student, on the other hand, was able to pay $100 and go on with her life. She didn't have to retain an attorney. She wasn't sent to a disciplinary tribunal. She didn't face any sort of permanent expulsion from school. She didn't face any criminal consequences. He, on the other hand, had to serve probation. She had to do community service. She was so young at the time, we couldn't even find anyone that would take her to do the community service. So we were fortunate to have Senator Jones, who represents Henry County, and he welcomed her to the Capitol, and she was able to do her community service there. But otherwise, we might not have been able to even find anywhere where she could serve it because she was so young. And it was an eye-opening experience for me and really has shaped my advocacy and work that we do now on behalf of students.
Mm. Now, that experience, it's representative of a lot of experience, I think, of people of color. And you've had a chance to really study the trends at the local level in different communities here in Georgia. What are some of the disparities that you all have noticed?
We review data every year across the state from different school districts in Georgia, and we see those stark race disparities and also disparities in how students with disabilities are disciplined in school. And that ranges from in-school suspensions, out-of-school suspensions, expulsions, corporal punishment, which still exists in Georgia. Many people don't know. Black children are three times as likely to receive corporal punishment than white children.
You're talking about spankings?
Yeah, paddling.
Paddling,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and the race disparities are stark. But we try to drive down into the real weeds of the data, and you see where the disparities really become stark is looking at these sort of subjective offenses. And that's where we believe the implicit bias, and I think the research supports that the implicit bias really impacts decision-making of school teachers and administrators.
The Georgia Supreme Court recently ruled against this idea of zero-tolerance discipline in schools. And I know that you have dealt with a case involving that at the Supreme Court level. Talk a little bit about that and what effects could the ruling actually have?
Last year, the Georgia Supreme Court ruled in the first ever school discipline case that came up to the Supreme Court. It was a zero-tolerance case where a student was expelled, a senior in high school, for fighting, but she was acting in self-defense. And so the court ruled that a zero-tolerance fighting policy that doesn't take into account whether a student was acting in self-defense is not consistent with Georgia law and would be unlawful. Mm-hmm. So it has an impact on implicit bias because we know there's a deep correlation between school districts that enforce zero tolerance policies and schools that have huge race disparities. Because with zero tolerance policies, you're often talking about sort of rush decisions without a lot of thought or investigation as to what might be the cause of the misbehavior, or if there is even a misbehavior, like in our case where we had a student who was a victim of bullying and responded back. So that case, I think, is the first step towards our pursuit for ending zero tolerance in schools and using legal advocacy as a way to do that.
I want to play this clip from Deshaw Hockett. He's a founder of this social justice organization called Safe Places for the Advancement of Community and Equity. And he described the problem of implicit bias, especially in education, during a TED Talk last year.
The science of implicit bias says that you can be a school administrator and say that you are deeply committed to nurturing and building up young people, and yet be the same school administrator who leads your school in high rates of suspensions and expulsions of young people. Consciously, you're deeply committed to building young people up. Unconsciously, you're doing harm in the process.
So, Michael, if that is the case, then how do we begin to even address this problem, considering it can be so difficult to even identify?
I think first we need to just acknowledge that a problem exists, and that can be a very difficult hurdle for many people in power structures to realize. And so I think once we overcome that, then we can start to plan a way in which we can improve the situation for students. And one way is to just simply look at a student handbook and look for these subjective offenses, these sort of vague, overly broad offenses, because we know that the data shows that the disparities exist with these infractions. And so looking at ways that we can better improve the writing of these student handbooks is one way. I think improving training as far as implicit biases and cultural competency for our teachers, but especially our administrators who hold a lot of discretion in what types of punishment and just the culture of their schools, and just being more proactive and mindful of how we engage with children, and also having more engaging academic structures in place. Where you see misbehavior a lot of times is when students aren't engaged in class. And I think if we can improve ways to reach the children better academically, we'll see reductions in misbehavior that won't result in as punitive of disciplinary reactions. Mm.
Michael Tefelsky is a lawyer with the Georgia Legal Services Program. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.